My wife, as you know, is a RN, and so she is geeked out about all of this coronavirus stuff. And so she's reading me an article yesterday that where certain health professionals have suggested that anybody over 60 should not be in large groups, like going to church. And she kind of hinted, you're over 60 now. Maybe you shouldn't be in a large group. And I reminded her, honey, that's how I get paid. So I'm here with her full blessing, and every now and then I have had the opportunity to get to know certain music stars, and they will say, hey, Mike, I'm going to do a show at this place. Won't you come see the show? I'd love to come see the show. Okay, I'll put your name on the list. Okay, you know what the list is. At one particular door, there's a list of names that have been invited, who have a free ticket comped in, okay? And it's usually the door off to the side of where everybody who's paid goes in. And there's usually a very large human being by that door who most of the time is tatted up and wearing all black. And you can tell this man has not laughed in several months. But he's got the clipboard. And on the clipboard is your name. So you step up and say, I think my name is on the list. And what is your name? Mike Glenn. And he looks at you like he doesn't believe you. And I don't blame you. Most people don't know who I am. Most people in the music business, of course, don't know who I am. So he's trying to figure out, are you a producer? Or you want, you know, no, I'm this guy's pastor. And then he really thinks I'm not on the list. And he'll go down and he'll come back up and he'll go down. And you start thinking, oh, great. Oh, great, my friend forgot to put me on the list. I'm going to be humiliated here in front of everybody. Really, my name should be on the list. Oh, here you are. And he'll pull the rope back, and you get to step in, all because your name is on the list. Today, we're going to talk about the most famous name that we don't have that's on the list. And, of course, if you're a preacher, the obvious thing is to ask you, is your name on that list? What struck me as even being sadder is that most of us don't even know there is a list, much less who to ask. Let's stand now in honor of God's word as we hear this famous conversation. Then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at Jesus. Aren't you the Messiah? Then save yourself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, don't you even fear God? Since you're undergoing the same punishment, we're punished justly because we're getting back what we deserve for the things that we did. But this man's done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it, believe it, and live. Let's pray together. Like the thief on the cross, sometimes we are desperate for your help. We have no other recourse. We have no other Savior. So may we leave, all of us, leave here today with the confidence of knowing that our name is on that list. And we pray this in your name. Amen. We don't know anything about these two guys. We know they are thieves. That was a big word that covered a lot of different crimes. It could be used for any kind of things. Most scholars seem to think that they were part of the group that Barabbas had led in rebellion, that the story of Barabbas's release was somehow tied to the execution of these two thieves. They were thieves, they were rebels, they were outlaws. They had obviously done something beyond the usual realm of crime. This was, crucifixion was an extreme punishment meant to send a signal to the worst of the worst. We don't have their names. History hasn't remembered them. We just have this conversation. The first guy taunts Jesus. Maybe he picks up the jeering of the crowd around Jesus, and he says, "Yes, if you are the Messiah, why don't you save yourself and us while you're at it? If you are the Savior, then why don't you save yourself, and then, just to put the cherry on top of this magic trick, save us too?" Have you ever done that? Have you ever taunted God? Most of us have. Most of us have been in a situation where we're so desperate for God to show up in any kind of way that we try to provoke him. We think, at last resort, if we make God mad enough, then maybe God will show up and strike us down with lightning. At least he will show up. At least then we will know. There's a great scene in the movie Cool Hand Luke. Paul Newman, one of the great movies of all time. If you haven't seen it, go home this afternoon and watch it. Where one of the other inmates tells Cool Hand Luke, Paul Newman, he asks him, "Aren't you afraid of dying?" And Paul and Luke says, "No. Something is said about God striking you down." And Paul Newman responds, "He can have my life anytime he wants it. You hear that, old timer? Love me, hate me, kill me, do something, anything. Just let me know you're there." You've been there, haven't you? Where a bolt of lightning from God would be a blessed relief. At least we know you're there. But God is never provoked like that. He's never manipulated. God won't respond to the taunts of human beings, but he always responds to a cry for mercy. We're told in other stories, other gospels, that this second thief had taunted Jesus as well. We don't know when he changed. Maybe he heard Jesus' prayer begging forgiveness for those who were crucifying him. Maybe that was the moment when the thief began to understand there really is something different about Jesus. So he begs him, "Remember me. Can you put my name on that list when you come into your kingdom?" And then Jesus gives the answer that we all know. "Today, you will be with me in paradise." And we have flipped out about that answer. We want to know what that answer means. What exactly does it mean? And we have all kinds of theories and all kinds. What did Jesus mean by today? Did he mean by the end of that day at midnight? Was that day over today? What does he mean by today? 24 hours? Because Jesus is laid in the tomb, and then Jesus, so where is the thief? We got people all kind of freaked out. What does Jesus mean by today? Well, one of the things that you do in biblical studies is when you see a word like that, that you're confused about how it's used, are there places where that same word is used in another conversation? And this word, there is. There's several. In Luke 4, there's a story of Jesus reading the scriptures in Nazareth. And after he reads the scriptures, he rolls the scroll up, hands it back to the attendant, and says, today, same word, today this passage, this prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing. There's another one. It's the story of Zacchaeus, Luke chapter 19. After Zacchaeus confesses and says he will give back to the poor and pay them many times over what he has stolen from them, Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house. There's another story. It's in Luke 12. It's a story that Jesus tells about a very rich man who says, look at yourself. You're so successful. What are you going to do with all your stuff? I will tear down the small barns I have. I will build bigger barns to store all of my stuff. Then I can say to myself, so lay back and take it easy. Then God says to him, this night, same kind of thought, this night your soul will be required of you. Now, we all think that man died. It doesn't say in the story he died. But we always assume there's a funeral. There's not. So what do all of these things have in common? A change of time. Today. Today is the moment for Jesus when you go from past tense to future tense. Today, it was just a moment in the synagogue. We read scripture like we always do. But this day, today, this passage, this prophecy has been fulfilled. The future that God promised with the sending of the Messiah is now here today. Future tense is now today. Now, today salvation has come to this house. The thief, the crook, Zacchaeus, the tax collector, we're no longer living out of the past. We're no longer living out of those old models. Now we are living out of the future models. We are living in anticipation of the kingdom yet to come. It's the moment the time changes from present tense, past tense, to future tense. The other word that freaks us out is paradise. What will it be like? When will I get there? And what will be there when I get there? You know, we're not given much of a description of heaven. Streets of gold. And most of you are so excited like you're going to break the streets up and spend that money. Right? Walls of jade, gates of pearl, like you're going to make jewelry. Think about it. We have become so pagan, so earthbound, so worldly, that we anticipate heaven is going to be just a nicer house than we have now. We miss the most important thing. Today, paradise, the most important thing is right in the middle of the passage. Today, you will be with me. That's it. New Jerusalem at the end of Revelation is introduced. I saw the New Jerusalem. How is Jerusalem introduced? God will be their God, and he will be with his people, and they will be his people. It's the width that matters. not the circumstances. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were thrown in the fiery furnace. The king looks in, he says, didn't we throw three in there? Yes, king, but there's four who's walking there. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. The fire's not the problem. It is the absence of God that is unbearable. Remember me when you come into my kingdom, when you come into your kingdom today. Today, you will be with the most important word in Jesus' answer, with. Now, let me tell you why this is not a totally happy ending. Most of you will leave here and not have this promise. In fact, the most cynical about us will read this passage and say, you know, I wonder if there's a way I can live the way that I want to, and then when I come to that moment of death, I can slide in under the tag. I can confess my life, and I can confess my sins at the last moment. You don't have that promise. Monday night, Tuesday morning, we were all reminded that you don't know the time or the place. The good news is that Jesus wants this day to be today for you. He wants this to be today when you go from past tense to future tense, where everything changes. And your name gets put on the list. And he wants to do it today. Let's pray together. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed as we have this moment of response. Let me ask you the question the old preachers would ask you. Is your name on the list? Has there been a time in your life, a moment, where you have asked Jesus to put your name there? If you haven't, I beg you, don't leave this place until you've had that moment. Find our ministers. They'll be at a table right under big signs that says next steps. Can't miss them. They want to continue this conversation so that you will know the today of Jesus right now. So you can start living future tense. Leave your past behind. I know I'm saying a whole lot. It's just a handful of words. That's why our friends are out there, our ministers, our counselors, to help you understand what Jesus dying on the cross means for you and what it means for you today. Perhaps it's time to come be part of Brentwood Baptist Church. We welcome you. However we can help you, pray for you, encourage you, we'd love to have that chance. Don't leave this place without your name on a list. Lord Jesus, every life is now open, every heart. So we pray the choices we make now are exactly what you want.